Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Get you caught up on what's been going on. I have been buying a hell of a lot of cable. I haven't had a lot of cable in my life. I followed the run where he was carrying Hope and Bishop was chasing him, which was a fairly current run. Maybe as like a decade ago. It's fairly current. Maybe it was about 8 years ago. That was when Hope was a big player, and she was a child initially, and then she became a big part of X-Men crossover, and then it kind of just didn't pan out. Like, she didn't really hit it big. But I originally got the JRJR 2-issue miniseries, which kind of talked about him with Grizzly and all Kane and all those characters that had action figures. Blood Pack, I think, was what they're called. And I followed those. And when I read those originally, I was like a Rob Liefeld fan. Like, I really liked his art, but I didn't like JRJR. And now it's the opposite. It's so weird. I just recently reread those 2 issues of Cable, and I was like, God dang, these are awesome. I've really become a JRJR fan over the past probably 5 years, maybe 10 years. He's just grown on me, like his style, his newer style, not his classic style, because he did have a Marvel House stuff when he was doing Dazzler and X-Men and stuff. I tend to like his more blocky, Kirby-esque anatomy's not quite right art. I don't know why. It just reminds me of Kirby, and I just like it. It's very explosive and dynamic. Also bought Agent X, which is a Deadpool from another Earth, and I originally thought Soldier X and Agent X were created so they could stop paying Rob Liefeld the, you know, his 5% royalty fee or whatever he gets every time they publish a Deadpool or Cable. And that turned out to be false, at least according to an article I read where they had talked to Rob Liefeld. He did say, though, I asked him if he was going to talk about it potentially on an upcoming Robservations, and it sounded like that one was possible. I asked him a lot of questions, like, you know, why did your company for a while there move from Awesome to Avatar? And it was like a licensing agreement, but he didn't want to. He's not going to expound upon it, because that I found that fascinating, even though it didn't last long. You know, you had Glory at Avatar and Coven and a couple other things. And then you went to Arcade, and I hope he talks about that a little bit. But yeah, the Robservations podcast has influenced a lot of my buying habits lately. I was on this Conan tangent, and when I was locking down on completing it, and then rabbit hole, I went down a Cable, and that's what I've been spending a lot of money on. And then I finally placed a My Comic Shop order, and I was just all over the place with that. But it was I bought a comic called Silver Storm. I bought 4 issues of that. That was Cat and Mouse creator, tied into that universe. I co got closer to completing my Cat and Mouse Aerocell collection. I bought a Bolt special from AC Comics, Jungle Girls run. Not a full run, I'm getting close. From AC Comics. I bought a couple of Phantom Generations from Moon Stone. I bought a Logan's Run from Adventure Comics. Spitfire and the Troubleshooters. Really want to complete the new universe, but that wasn't what led me there. McFarlane did an issue, I think it was issue 4 of the Interiors, and that led me down that run. And I completed Spitfire and the Troubleshooters. Nathaniel Dusk, I bought Volume 1 and Volume 2. What led me to that was Doomsday Clock. I didn't own these. I found Nathaniel Dusk a big part of Doomsday Clock, and I loved those issues. So I wanted to read up on Nathaniel Dusk. Picked up Menace. That was the Jada Pinkett Smith comic. I think it was only two issues, a zero and a one. And I picked up all three issues of issue one, all covers, from Awesome Comics. Ninjettes, I was just missing one issue from Dynamite, so I picked that up. Kaboom, I bought two volumes of Kaboom. Those were also a Rob Liefeld's Jeff Loeb creation from Awesome Comics. Coven Dark Origins, issue one, that was from Awesome Comics. Coyote, issue 14, maybe it was issue 11, I think 11. 11 through 14 are Todd McFarlane issues on the backup story, and that's what led me into Coyote. And then I picked up I still need issues 12 and 13, but I picked up issues 1 through 4 just because the character looked really interesting. That was from Marvel Epic. Almost completed my Marvel Fanfare run from 1982. All I have left is the last issue, which is a Black Panther issue, and one other issue, and I don't remember what it is offhand. And that'll complete. And then on Geek Brunch, me and Bill Bomer were talking about, God, why don't I have any Wetworks? I've been totally into the 90s Image, and I never bought Wills Portacio's Wetworks. And Rob has been talking about Portacio a lot in Rob's Servations, and it kind of got me motivated to buy that. I bought some Unknown Soldiers. What else? Scarlet Crush, which is from Awesome Comics. So I'm still working on getting a full run of Liefeld books. Young Dracula. This was a. I can't remember the publisher, but I was reading an old issue of Advance Comics, which was the Capital Cities previews, and it looked interesting. Finished Lobo, A Contract on God. I completed my Moon Knight, and what I mean by complete Moon Knight is I have all of the Moon Knight, including his first appearance in Werewolf by Night, the Marvel Spotlight issues. Oh, those were a couple issues before his series started, and then you got Moon Knight, all the volumes, and I was missing a fourth issue of the miniseries, one of the miniseries, and I just had a hard time finding it. Finally, my comic shop said they had it, and that's what led me to pick that up. I picked up Quasar 14 because it has a Todd McFarlane cover. I picked up Simdar. It was an independent comic that looked interesting, number one. That was from old Advance Comics that looked. No, I think I was reading some. God, what is that publisher? I can't even think of who the publisher is. That's gonna drive me crazy. But whatever that publisher is, I don't have a lot of. And I've been getting some lately, and opening them up, and I'll read the advertisements, and the advertisements leads me to some of these other books. I almost completed my Super Patriot mini series. Almost completed Aztec, the Ultimate Man from DC Comics. I don't know why it was didn't have that. I picked up some 1977 Unknown Soldiers that I was missing. I'm still working on completing that run of Unknown Soldier. Fantastic Five, I completed the 1999 series from Tom DeFalco, the M2 Universe. We already talked about Coyote. Fallout 3000, that was a Diodato issue, which I wanted. Coven, I'm working on that awesome run, which I think I completed. Legend Lore from Caliber, that was the publisher I was trying to remember. This looks like a fantasy story. It just looked cool and I picked it up. An advertisement led me to that. Warman number 2, that's the reason I pulled the plug on this my comic shop order is because I picked up Warman number 1 from Aaron Myers and I liked it so much. It's about a gun runner and he's like a Punisher type character and the story was just so good that I had to pick up issue 2. And there's only 2 issues in this Marvel Epic line. Night Vale with number 6 I was missing from AC Comics. Image 2-in-1 featuring Herculean and Duncan. That was an Eric Larson book I was missing. You'll see a lot of things that trying to get everything from the image creators. I just find the 90s fascinating. They just sparked a lot of excitement, and Mr. T and the T-Force, I completed that run finally with issue 10. Proteus, I got issues 1 and 2 of that. Silver Surfer In Thy Name number 4, it was a 4-issue miniseries. I completed that. Bolt and Star Force 6 number 1, that's another AC. Eric Larson led me to Bolt. Because he did a few issues of it. He didn't do these particular issues of Bolt that I've talked about, but it led me to the character and I enjoyed it because I read him right away. Baker Street, still looking to complete that series from 1989. I picked up number 7. The Coven Phantom Special Edition number 1. I picked that up. That was Awesome Comics. Gwenpool Strikes Back number 3. It was an issue I was missing. Awesome Adventures. This was an awesome comics. It was just one issue. I picked that up. Ramthar. It was a Mike Diodato issue. One issue. Another Super Patriot issue. Alan Moore's Awesome Universe, trying to complete the Awesome Universe. Twisted Tales from Pacific, number 10. I believe I completed that title with that purchase. Kato Origins, it was an issue I was missing from Dynamite, issue 9. Dominique Killzone, it just looked like a cool issue from 1995, an independent comic. Judgment Day, I want to get all of them, but there's. I already read Judgment Day. This was an awesome crossover from Awesome Comics. Alan Moore penned issue. And it was 4 issues or 5 issues, and I read the trade on that, and now I'm trying to pick up the singles. There was an awesome holiday special from Awesome Comics. And it sounds to me like around the time that Awesome Comics were going on as he made a financial agreement with his company with a couple of investors. One of the investors he liked a lot. One of the investors gave his shares to somebody else, and that investor has some shares of the character. And at some point in time, Rob Liefeld had to divide up the characters, and he lost Youngblood. And that company is going to be publishing a Youngblood. They don't seem to have a good rep right now, but we'll see what happens. I will buy it if it comes out. Space 34, 24, 34. This had a bunch of sexy women on the cover. I bought it. Opened it up and found out it really wasn't a comic. It was a comic, but it was one of those photo comics where they take a picture of all these models and then they put wood balloons around them. And I don't have the COVID. I went and walked Harley, and we have a lot of smoke from one of our fires. And every time I go for a longer walk, like an hour walk, I come back and I'm coughing because there's ash in the air. So I can't imagine the people in California what they're breathing in. I picked up G.I. Joe number 61. The story behind that is kind of funny. I found out there was a G.I. Joe special with Todd McFarlane art on it, and it was a one, one shot published, and it said reprints G.I. Joe 61, and I was like, oh, I gotta get that. Well, what I found out is that the editors didn't like Todd McFarlane's art in 61, and they had I can't think of his name. How Marshall Rogers pen it and fix the problems, and they threw away McFarlane's art to the side, and it came out later as G.I. Joe Special, but that book was expensive, so I was like, I'll buy G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero number 61. And the kayfabe guys even did an issue about it because everybody told, my friends, podcaster Kirk and Bill Bomer, they told me, hey, there's already a video comparing and contrasting these two issues. I still am trying to seek out a G.I. Joe special, and I have it's really expensive because the only copies I can find are CGC type versions of it. But I would like to own a copy of that. Autumn, this is a Caliber series from 1995. I must have picked like one through three of Autumn and put it in my cart at one point, and then they sold out of one and two, and I just had three in my cart, and that's all I got is three, which is kind of odd. Jonas is another Mike Diodato series from Caliber. Fighting American Rules of the Game. This is another awesome comic. Rob Liefeld. And the reason I bought this is just another cover. I want to own all of the covers that Rob has done and or his companies have done. So I picked that up. We already talked about Young Dracula. The Fighting American hardcover, which is the Simon and Kirby. Rob Liefeld talked about that, got me really hungry for reading that. Spicy Mystery Stories, Spell of the Serpent from Adventure House. It's a replica from 1941 in 2005. And it looked like a men's adventure type magazine. I thought it was a comic, but it wasn't a comic. It's actually prose with art in it. It does look interesting, and I don't regret my purchase. Batman Confidential number 43. It was an issue I was missing that Sam Keith did. I think I have a full run of Batman Confidential now. And I think that kind of sums it up. Picked up a few issues of Bishop, the first volume of his series, and couple of miscellaneous, a couple Kickstarters came in, but I already filed them away, so I don't want to talk about them. But I probably received about 10 of them over the past month. Tangerine mango juice. Very tasty. So I'll be back with a few of the monthly or weekly reads. And we'll talk to you in a bit. Hopefully, I can get at least one week done before Barb comes home because today is Friday. I'll see you in a bit. All right, I am back. And let's see if we could do 4 weeks. We're going to make an attempt. There weren't big weeks for reading. I got to read more. The prior week was 44, and then I went to shit. So this is August 3rd through August 9th. We had a total. Let's go to movies first. I had the 4 out of 5 TV show movies were Collector's Corner. They talked about board games, the Beatles, Hall of Fame Hero Museum, and Marilyn Monroe. I'm really enjoying that series. That's on MeTV. It's just a bunch of collector stuff. And the Hall of Heroes one was the comic book related stuff. I tend to like the other stuff better because I already know so much about comics. I already know, I've seen it. So when they talk about bikes or board games and shit that I don't know, I tend to like those more as episodes because it's something I didn't know. Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. I had never seen that before, and it was really good. I saw that on Peacock. I was reading something about the mummy and on a Craig Yeo book, and it made me want to watch a mummy movie, and I chose Abbott Costello Meet the Mummy. The 5 out of 5 was Warrior Nun on Netflix. I plowed through them. They were renewed for season 2. It was excellent. I absolutely loved it. So that week there were only 13 comics, probably because I was watching so much Warrior Nun. But we had one Vault, 7 Marvel, one Kickstarter, one Image, one Kickstarter, but it was originally published as IDW, and it did 3 issues, I believe, and the fourth one was never seen print, and then the Kickstarter was a trade of that. So I guess that their IDW, the Omnibus Press, the Bart Sears and Ron Mars and Andy Smith company didn't do too good with IDW. I think they're doing better as a Kickstarter, but it's a damn shame. You think those names would draw a bigger fan base, and we would have seen more publications, I would hope. I have from IDW The Mummy, which was a Craig Yeo book about Golden Age mummy stories. We have Gallery 13, which is the first one I ever have from that company, which I did one issue of that. And that issue was a 5 out of 5, believe it or not. Knocked it out of the park. So let's start with the 3 out of 5s. We had Empire Savage Avengers. This was Conan enjoying a wrestling match in Mexico City when the Cotati attack, and he and Venom have to stop one of the invasions on the city. We have Silver Surfer Black, number 5. He's my character, adopt a character. I've been very bad about my adopt a character, but I did read one that week. It was Surfer regenerates the worlds he helped destroy, and then gives into Null the Black, like into the black. And then I said, I'm not sure I understood this. It's the final issue of the Silver Surfer Black, but it is an interesting story. Some of the prior issues, I think it was 2 and 3, I liked a lot more than how it began and how it's ended. That was a Donny Cates book. We had Bleed Them Dry, number 2. This is a ninja guy is teaching and helping a female cop recoup, and the vampire cop is recovering from his injuries with cybernetics. And that was the cop's partner, a vampire and a human working alongside together, and he turned out to be a bad cop. But the public doesn't know he's a bad cop. And he's recovering from his injuries, but because of what the ninja guy did. But he did bite the female cop, so we'll see how that pans out. We have Amazing Spider-Man, number 45. Spider-Man tries to protect Overdrive from the Sin Eater and fails. Is Overdrive dead? Question mark. I don't know. At the end, it appears he came back from the dead. Peter was depressed that MJ did not come back from Hollywood, and she's in her own book at this time, and in Hollywood making a movie with Mysterio. You have to check out Mary Jane if you want to know about that. Demigod 1 through 4. This was the Kickstarter, which printed the singles of 1 through 3 plus the addition of 4 from IDW. This is a geeky 20-year-old grabs a Babe Ruth bat and becomes Hercules and protects the girl of his dreams from the Lord Insidious and Y-Wave. Mr. Gray recruits him. It was an interesting story. I liked it. I get a kick out of Andy Smith and Bart Sears' art. I really like it. And the story was very compelling. I read some of those Golden Age issues. I probably read about half the a quarter of the trade. Let's go with the quarter of the trade of that Craig Yeo book. This was a part of a pre-code horror Mummy Comics. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I got to get back on that. I put it upstairs, and I, because I had guests come over, and I never got back to it. Empire Number Three, one of the female Kree. Oh, sorry, with Demigod, we went into the 4 out of 5. So the Demigod and the Mummy were 4 out of 5s. Empire Number Three was a 4 out of 5. One of the female Kree is really a Skrull, and she's looking to betray Hulkling. Reed and Tony looking for a way to infect the Kotati. Invisible Woman confronts Captain Marvel about her new role as the Accuser. Palm Number One, this was a Marcel Dupuis Kickstarter. Daughter of a hero tries to live up to her father, but she is a mess and is I don't even know what I wrote there. Meanwhile, there was a secret organization trying to break a criminal out of jail when they were transporting him. Two young heroes try to prevent it from happening and ask for the help of the daughter, but fail. The second story is about a superhero organization called the Unit who is fighting zombies in alchemy, and a new hero is sent to their rescue. That was an interesting story. I'm looking forward to these, but they're so far apart. And I like the first story more than the second. We have X-Men number 10. Vulcan is on the moon and has a confrontation with the Kotati. He takes out one of their bases, but they learn about Krakoa. UN art was amazing with the Kotati design. Empire Captain America number 1. Cap works with the New Howling Commandos to push the Kotati invasion in Washington and asks for their help because the Kotati are attacking outside the US. One of the soldiers is infected and he infects the general with the Kotati seed. That was a 4 out of 5. Captain Marvel number 18 was the last 4 out of 5. This was really good. Captain Marvel is sent to kill a Kree and finds out she has a sister, which is the first appearance of her. This one sort of got hot pretty quick. And she's in her role as the Accuser. We get into the 5 out of 5s. Frog Catchers by Jeff Lemire. That was the Gallery 13 book. Very touching. I'm old and I can relate. I'm not as old as the character in the book, but it sort of flashes back. He's dying and he's attached to all the wires and he's dreaming about when he was younger and his life with his son and stuff like that. And it has to starts off with him catching frogs and it leads him all the way through his death. It's very sad, very touching, a very emotional, awesome 5 out of 5. I absolutely adored it. I loved it. But then comes the 5 out of 5 that is my comic read of the year, Pulp. God, I love this. This was so good. It was an Ed Brubaker Phillips production, original graphic novel, direct to hardcover. And it was about a pulp writer. I thought it was going to be about a Western, but it's about a pulp writer that writes about Westerns, and he's really old. And he wants to kill off his, or he wants to retire his character, but the publication magazine doesn't want to let him. And he's a really old guy. He just keeps working because he has to live in society. And the stories that he's writing are about him when he was in the rest because he was an outlaw. That's what's fascinating. And there was always a marshal that was chasing him. And he gets beat up by white supremacist racists and gets involved in a story with white supremacists and the Nazis, Nazi sympathizers in the 20s. I think this happened in the 20s or the maybe it was the 30s or 40s. That was prior to the Nazi war, so I would say it's in the 40s. And him and that marshal, the marshal that was always chasing him down, he's Jewish. And they both go after these Nazis, and it's the most amazing story I have read in a long time. I absolutely fucking loved it. And then Phillips's son colored it too, so it was phenomenal. I can't say enough about it. If anything sounds interesting to you, I would focus on Frog Catchers and Pulp. They stand out as things that are just above and beyond comics. They're what makes comics special. We then get into the week of August 10th through August 16th. There were a total of 12 comics, one Scout, one Kickstarter, one Image, six DC, three Black Mask. There were movies that I watched and TV shows, Collector's Corner. I watched some more of those, 4 out of 5. I watched Jonah Hex the movie. I liked it. Gave it a 4 out of 5. This was my second watch. I think the first time I watched it, I gave it a 3 out of 5. The second time I watched it, I liked it a hell of a lot more. And then I watched October Faction on Netflix. It was excellent. That's based on an IDW comic book by Steve Niles. It's pretty freaking amazing as a show as well. The 3 out of 5s were Grit number 1. That's the Scout. This is kind of a weird story, but if you're into like Riley Rossimo art, you'll like it. If you like obscure monsters in like a fantasy world, somebody's murdering these like golems or trolls, and they're good for the forest, so they hire this guy to go find out who's murdering the trolls, and it just turns into a slaughter fest. Grit number 1 from Scout. I gave it a 3 out of 5, but it grew on me, so two, the number 2 and the 3 issue, they're higher rated. First Man, is a pretty simple story. It was supposed to have a sequel, but it was one of the first comics done by Andy Smith. This actually came with a Kickstarter. I didn't know it existed. It's only one shot. It was supposed to have a second issue, but it never happened. It came out from Image Comics, and it was kind of like of a guy who gets superpowers and he's in space. It was pretty interesting. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. Everglade Angels. That was about a girls' softball team. They get caught up in this fiasco with these killers in the small town, and it is really good. It's really good. It's a Kickstarter, but they came out in single issues of Scout Comics, and I don't think Scouts finished the story, but I finished the story. Come on to me. Come into me. Maybe it's on to, maybe it's come into me. That sounds nasty, but it's not spelled like CUM. It's COME. And this is a weird series about a guy who develops this machine where he can hook it up to somebody that's dying and they can like transfer and share experiences. And that person that's the female that's dying actually tries to take control over his body. And this guy's rich. It's really interesting, really well done. We have Jonah Hex, Volume 2. This is the Palmiotti and Gray, issues 1 through 6. Just revisiting some of those single issue stories. They were all excellent. We covered it on DC Spotlight, so I'll leave it there. If you want to go check it out, you can go listen to me and Kyle talk about Jonah Hex 1 through 6. That's a f probably 2 episodes ago. August 17th through August 23rd. There's not a lot to say here. There were 11 comics. They were all DC. I read Millennium again. This is where the Guardians and the Zamorians decide they want to go fuck. And they need to make new Guardians. So they get a bunch of Guardians, unique personalities. One is Tom from that used to work with Hal Jordan. One is a white supremacist, somebody from Africa, somebody from China that's a communist. Just a various group of people, a gay man, very diverse group. And they all have to work to become the new guardians, and that's what they are. Meanwhile, the Manhunters are taking over key characters in the DCU. They're actually robots, the biggest one being James Gordon. But there are a few, like there's the guy who's a predator in Green Lantern. He's a Lana Lang is a big one. She's a manhunter. And the heroes fight a bunch of manhunters. It's a Joe Staten art. It's Steve Englehart penned. A very interesting mini. It is an event, but it's a very strange event. You'll have to read it to see how strange it is, but I think you'll enjoy it if you put aside. If you like reading stories in every decade, I think you'll like reading Millennium. If you don't, probably you don't need to go back and read it. Fury of Firestorm, The Nuclear Men. I was started rereading kind of because I wanted to see how Gail Simone and Ethan Van Sciver got along in penning this issue. He didn't do the art, but they co-wrote the book together, and that was before Ethan Van Sciver just went politically apeshit. And I think they had it out on Twitter, Gail Simone and Ethan Van Sciver. But before that, they worked together, and I wanted to see how it worked out. And it's an interesting premise in the New 52 because Jason Rush and Ronnie Raymond are firestorms. They're both firestorms. One's like a red and one's like a yellow. And then I got probably a political phone call, so I'll hit off and turn that sucker off. It's a pretty exciting issue, episode, and you got the Russian firestorm and all this, and Martin Steen is. He appears to be a bad guy, so I'm like revisiting it. I read it when New 52 came out, and I've been reading a lot of like New 52 stuff again. Tangerine pineapple. That's so good. And the 5 out of 5 was Booster Gold from 2007, number one. The big thing there is that Booster Gold, he's always been like a braggart and he wants to make money being a hero and stuff. And now he has to be the hero in time that nobody else knows about. So that's the premise of that. And I read 4 issues of that. I don't know why I just put one. So that would take me to 3 more. So a total of 14. I hate when I screw up stuff like that. And then the final week. This will take us from August 24th through August 30th. And then we'll get into September, October. And I'll probably do all of September next time. Didn't take a lot of notes on these ones. I was a lazy month, but we had 5 out of 5s on the TV. Cobra Kai from Netflix, amazing. And also on Netflix, a documentary called High Score. It's about the history of video games, and it is really, really good. Both of them, highly recommend. Excellent TV. That week I had a total of 32 comics. Not bad. Not good, but not bad. I like to be in 40s, but we had 1 Vault, 1 Red 5, 18 Marvel, 4 Kickstarters, 1 IDW, 1 Fishwrap, 1 Charlton, and 5 AWAs. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s. There was only one. We had Snake Eyes, Dead Game by Rob Liefeld. It's an interesting. I didn't care too much for it. I was entertained. That's why you got the 3 out of 5. But after I discussed this with Bill on Geek Brunch, I think I want to rate it higher, but I left it at the original rating. After we discussed it and some of the layouts and some of the stuff, I think I liked it more just talking about it. But we'll go with my original assessment and go with the 3 out of 5. And then we had Yasmin, This was from Vault. I think it was Vault. Maybe I should check again. I always get Vault Yasmin. That scout, god dang it. I do that all the time. Sometimes I give scout credit when it's Vault and Vault credit when it's scout. I wish they would just merge because they're very similar publishers. They are almost like the same publisher. It's easy to get confused. Yasmin is about a girl in Iran that gets caught up in a civil war, and it's her and her family trying to escape. And it's really interesting. The opening scene is what kind of gave me a low score because it had them walking through a like the desert, but there were like landmines, and I didn't. It was like a foreshadowing of what's to come, maybe, but that's what the story was about, and it was really confusing because it never like linked back to that. And during the invasion, she's with her uncle, and they kill her uncle, and I think she's captured now, and her family's trying to find her. And it's weird because there's a flash forward. And she's reunited with her mother. So there's a lot of time jumping, makes it sort of confusing, but it is a really good story. Zira is about an ape that's being experimented on, a chimpanzee, if you will. And she had a child, and they take the child. Very abusive scientists, although there are one or two good scientists there. But, she gets away, she kills the bad scientist and gets into this like cybernetic suit that makes her really powerful. That's from Red 5. It was very interesting. Avengers Volume 2, 1 through 6. This was Rob Liefeld and crew doing Heroes Reborn, and I was listening to the Rob Liefeld Robservations, and it got me down this path of Captain America and Avengers. And I read 1 through 6 and 1 through 6 of Avengers that week. Which should take me. I'm going to have to do recount on that to make sure I got them all, because that was 12 already. Yeah, well, that should be right. Maybe. 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah, that's 18. I guess I did count it right. But it's a fun Avengers because the one thing that Rob does really well is he just throws a lot of action. Nothing's condensed. Sometimes you just feel in the mood, just like throw Loki fighting them. He threw in Kang. There was all kinds of shit going on. Scarlet Witch was bad. She turned bad and started siding with Loki. There's the Sword Master, Hawkeye. They look totally different. There's a Thor, but later in the issues, there's another Thor from our world that shows up when they started to merge. It's just a fun series, and there's lots of characters. Enchantress is a bad guy. Got a lot of good art, at least if you like Liefeld type style artist. He didn't draw the interiors on there. He drew some covers, but he hires people that have his same style. It was fun. Fish Police number two. This series is surprising. I didn't think I would like it, and I like it. I can't remember who recommended it to me. It might have been Kirk. But I have a lot of the Fish Police now. I got those from Dennis Chandler, and I've been enjoying them. Some of them I got from my comic shop. Some of them I got from him. Burlap 1 through 4. This was a Kickstarter. Oh, it's so good. It starts off grounded about this guy that wears burlap over his face, but he's recruited by a bad organization, And he escapes and is burned alive by that organization. And now he's like this, he's working to take down the organization, and the girl that he grew up with, that they had captured as kids to turn them into warriors, it looks like it's going to be the nemesis, and I'm waiting for the other Kickstarter to kick off. I heard it's going to happen soon. So me and Bill Bulmer both read it. We don't usually do Kickstarters together, but we coincidentally did this and collaborated on review and Geek Brunch. So if you want to go check that out, you can check out that burlap episode. Had Empire X-Men 2, Empire number 4, Empire Celestial Messiah number 1, Fantastic Four 22 Empire. The Empire series is very interesting, and I tend to like the ones that focus on Swordmaster, Celestial Messiah, and stuff like that. The X-Men one's really good because of the Genosha thing with Scarlet Witch. But yeah, it's really cool. I like it. It's the Kree, the Skrulls, and the Kotate, and everybody's against the Kotate. And then you have like conspiracy against Hulkling, who's leading the Skrulls and the Kree, and there's inner turmoil between those two. And you have the Fantastic Four that have the Kree and Skrull kids that they saved from the one it wasn't a planet, but it was like a war world where they fought all the time. Captain America, Volume 2, 1 through 6. This one's pretty exciting. They fight a world white racism organization. Cap is originally with Nick Fury, and they're trying to take him down. And there's a new Bucky, whose brother is part of that white supremacist organization. They introduce, God, I can't think of him. It's like Captain Nazi or something like that. And then the Red Skull, of course, he's involved. And they did 1 through 6 here. And Rob was supposed to do 12 issues of Avengers and 12 issues of that. But that's when Marvel went bankrupt and they tried to change the deal and make his pay a lot less. And Rob decided to cut the cord because of the pay cut. And Jim Lee took over. His Wildstorm publication took over seven. Well, actually, there's an issue 7 of Avengers that Rob Liefeld did, and he did 8 through 12. And I think there were even more. There were like 13, maybe through 14, and those were Wildstorm crossovers with like the Wildcats and stuff. So, yeah, I did those because of Rob's observations. Very entertaining. Spider-Man Daily Bugle. Oh, that was really good. Do I have three? I gotta figure that out. This was one that was coronavirus, happened around that time. That's 2017. 2000. Let's try it again. Daily Bugle. Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man. The Daily Bugle. Maybe it's that one. Yeah, I never got three. Huh, interesting. I didn't get take credit for one, and I know I have it and I read it. This is a Matt Johnson written with art by Mac Chatter and Francisco Mobile. I'm gonna do a download covers to see if there's a cover for number 3, 'cause yeah, it never. Why didn't this finish? But this was spinning out of Amazing Spider-Man, and It's helmed by Peter Parker's mentor, Robbie Robertson. The Daily Bugle staff is the last chasing stories, and the city is run by Mayor Wilson Fisk. Keeping the public informed is an essential as dangerous. Weaving between the events in Amazing Spider-Man and Daredevil, this kind of fills in the story. They're following a lead into Kingpin and Spider-Man's past that will change the way you look at the web slinger. But it never finished, and I remember liking it quite a bit. Hopefully it'll come back. So then we get into the 4 out of 5s began with Yasmin. They ran to Amazing Spider-Man Daily Bugle. And we get to the 5 out of 5s, The Secrets of Young Brides. Just romance comics at their best. I just loved it. I talked about this on the DC Everything Else podcast, so check that out. If you like romance stories that are just weird and bizarre, this one had like 3 of them, and I just find them like fascinating. Romance comics just in general. And then I love to read like the Dear Abby or whoever the editor is when it's all these girls sending in, "Oh, my boyfriend's an asshole. He broke up with me, and then he gets back together with me, and now he breaks up with me again." And it's like, what do I do? Year Zero, number 2, Archangel, number 8, number 2, Resistance, number 2, Red Border, number 2, and Hotel, number 2. AWA. All 5 out of 5s. I even bumped up Archangel. I started to like it more. But Hotel is by far my favorite, and it's just like a bunch of weird fuckers just go to this hotel off the highway, kind of like Anthony Perkins' hotel in Psycho. You know, it's just off there, and it's off the beaten path, and there's this weird swamp in the back, but it's real colorful. But this was about a man that was trying to kill his wife because he just was sick of her, and he's really well to do, so he like set it up for the perfect scheme, and it doesn't work out. And then Red Border is about these guys that are being chased by the guy and a girl and one other kid that are being chased by a Mexican mafia across the border. They get across the border and kind of go into this home with this family of looks like to be racist people, and it's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family. And that's at the end of issue 2, they find out that they can't leave and that they've killed the one kid that was with them. Resistance is sort of like a bunch of shots about around the world about people that have gained powers over the years. It's really interesting, penned by Mike Straczynski and Diodato in art. Archangel number 8 is about a bounty hunter, and it's relating this bounty hunter to actual angels like Gabriel and Michael the Archangel and a bunch of archangels. And the female, it focuses on one of the female angels in this one. 02, years 0 is sort of a post-apocalyptic like outbreak of zombies, but it really is not focusing on the zombies at this point. It's just like the situations of a bunch of different characters around different parts of the world, and I think they're all going to come together. So yeah, those were all 5 out of 5s. I want to thank you for joining. Please send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can always send me questions that you want me to answer on the show at that account or at Mike Myers Brunch. I really appreciate you for listening to this show. You can find this on geekbrunchpodcast.com along with other podcasts like Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Collector's Corner, and on the DC Noise podcast, DCNoisePodcast.com. You can see me on DC Spotlight with Kyle and the DC Everything Else podcast. I'm probably missing. Oh yeah, my CC Pop, Mike M CC Pop, which is my Kickstarter podcast. I need to get back on that one. But I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.